In the Old Testament, priests and their idiosyncrasies would come and go. But Pastor Ray Bentley says under the New Covenant, Jesus is our priest.
The beauty of the New Covenant and our perfect priest, Jesus, number one, he is a man, so he resonates with us, but also he is perfect. He never has a bad day. He is always the same. You can count on him.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. We're in the book of Hebrews as we work our way through God's Word. And today, we're contrasting the Old Covenant with the New. Pastor A points out the differences in the way priests represented us to God as compared to the way Jesus is our representative in heaven. Let's listen as Pastor A begins.
Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7. And we're going to talk about Jesus as the perfect priest. He is our priest forever, our high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. All right, beginning in verse 20, it says, "And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath." He is comparing the Levitical priesthood with Jesus, okay? And so the Levites, they did not have any oath for their order of priesthood, but the order of Jesus' priesthood does. God actually gave an oath. But he with an oath by him, who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You," talking of the Messiah, Jesus, "are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety or a guarantee of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood." I'm going to talk about these things in a moment, but let me just start by saying that one of the big jobs of a priest is to pray for people and intercede for them. But when it comes to the petition part of my daily prayers, I always begin to pray, first of all, for my wife. I pray God's blessing upon her, and I pray that if there is anything, any pressures in her life or in her busy schedule, things I know that are coming up, I will pray for that. I'll pray for her health if she's not feeling well. I just pray for God's blessing upon her and his protection of her, and that God's will would be done in her life. And then I begin praying for my children. Now I have a son and a daughter, and they're both now married. And so I have really now two daughters and two sons through those marriages. And I pray for them individually and what's going on in their lives that I'm aware of and what I know about, and pray that God will lead them and bless them and protect them and encourage them and know that they are loved and for God's will in their life. And then I begin to pray for each one of my five grandchildren. And I lift up their, you know, where they're at and their little lives and what's going on, and pray for the Lord to make an impact in them and to know them and how much they are loved and protected and blessed and everything else. And then I pray for you. I pray for the church. And I lift up there's so many things going on, and all the ministries that are going on, and whatever's happening during the week that I know that's coming up. And I pray for all of those things. And I do it to the best of my ability, but I must, admit, and I think it's quite obvious, that my prayers, with all that I do, and to the best of my ability, are limited. For a number of reasons. One, I'm not perfect. I am a sinner, just like you. My perception may not always be exactly accurate. I look at things and what I see and what I perceive, and I pray accordingly again, to the best of my ability, but sometimes I find out later that my perception wasn't exactly right. And then, you know, being human and being honest and vulnerable here with you today, I admit that on occasion, there's something about prayer that is very relaxing. I find that I fall asleep on occasion when I'm praying. And by the way, I do recommend if any of you have insomnia, just start to pray. It's amazing how immediately you begin to relax. Has that ever happened to anybody? Am I not alone in that? So I admit that my prayers are flawed and limited, but thank God that I have and you have a priest who is perfect. He knows everything. He's not praying out of a limited knowledge. He understands everything. And he knows exactly what the will of God is and what is best for me, for my family, my children, my grandchildren, for Maranatha, for the people that I love, for my friends. He knows exactly, and he prays in that way with no limitations at all, our perfect priest, Jesus, after the order of Melchizedek. And the writer of Hebrews says he is the divine guarantee of the new covenant. Now, the old covenant, and so again, the writer of Hebrews is comparing. The old is there and it's valid, and we should read the law and we should read the Old Testament. It is filled with Jesus. But also, even in the Old Testament, it was prophesied that God was going to give a new covenant and a better covenant to replace the old one. And one of the, you know, there are many reasons for why it's better. One is the law of the old covenant was written on tablets of stone. So you walk up to the tablets of stone and you go, wow, okay, thou shalt, and you read through the list of the commands of righteousness. But then we, being sinners and imperfect, we failed and we fall short of following the law. And the law didn't reach down and help us when we failed. All it could do was really kind of condemn us. And the reason God gave the law was to teach us, summary, two things. One, the radical holiness of God, and two, the radical sinfulness of man. It was a schoolmaster to lead us to plead for God to give us a better and a new covenant. Now God doesn't write his law on tablets of stone. He says, I will write and inscribe with my finger, my heart, my will, my nature, my character in the tablets of your fleshly heart. I will change you from the inside. The old covenant, you're on the outside trying to work your way into character. In the new covenant, God puts and inscribes his nature by his spirit within you, and you are transformed from the inside out. And the guarantee is that whereas the old covenant failed to make anyone righteous, it only showed us that we were sinners, the new covenant will make us like Jesus. Jesus is the guarantee that we'll make it to heaven, we'll be transformed, in the end we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and we'll have his nature and character for all of eternity. Jesus is the guarantee. So thank God, we're no longer under the law, we're married now to Jesus Christ. How many are glad for that? Hallelujah. The beauty of the new covenant and our perfect priest, Jesus, number one, he is a man, so he resonates with us, but also he is perfect. He is a perfect man, and he is also perfectly God. He never changes. We never need a new one. He will never have a dip. He never has a bad day. He is always the same. You can count on him. He prays perfectly for you. And with men will always let you down. Jesus will never let you down. And there's something so beautiful about that constancy, that evenness. And he intercedes for us and he loves us and he prays for us continuously. Now, God gave with the new covenant, here's another thing that the writer of Hebrews says, the old covenant, the priesthood was given, but there was no oath. The new covenant, God actually swore an oath, and he says, I'm never going to change my mind. Once you have Jesus as your priest, you have him forever. You are eternally my sons. You are eternally forgiven. You are eternally accepted in him. You are eternally given his righteousness, and you have an eternal future in my Father's house, where there are many mansions that Jesus prepares for us. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful and a marvelous thing. I love that idea of sympathetic resonance. We've got a piano over here. If I had another sister piano over there, I could walk up to that piano, play the middle C, and over here, without anyone being there and no one touching the piano at all, the middle C string would vibrate and hum, and the note C, very gently and lightly, would ring. And it's called sympathetic resonance because it's the exact same instrument, the exact same note. It vibrates in unison. They're connected. And in that way, your body is the human instrument. Jesus, your priest, also has still a human body. He didn't just become a man for 33 years. When Jesus became a man, he became man forever. He entered the human race for eternity. And how good it is that at the right hand of the majesty on high, there is a risen, resurrected, perfect, sinless, blameless man. And whatever touches you, whatever affects you, whatever dissonant chord strikes in your life, it vibrates in heaven. And Jesus immediately brings whatever it is that's hurting you, bothering you, giving you anxiety, pressure, worry, concern, and he speaks perfectly to the Father according to the will of God and the Holy Spirit on your behalf and on mine. Jesus never changes. And what a glorious thing that is.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's a blessing to hear from listeners, especially when a particular message has spoken to them in a meaningful way.
Dear Ray Bentley, your current messages have been so encouraging to me. I hope it will be also for my husband. We have purchased a fixer-upper house, and it has caused continual financial and emotional stress. Please accept this small donation and send us your message titled Sinking or Walking on Water. Thank you, and God bless.
When you hear a message that speaks to you, get a permanent copy of it to have for the future or to share with someone else. You can order at raybentley.com. Again, go to our website, raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, look with me at verse 25. I love this verse. Verse 25 says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The Lord is able to save to the uttermost those who live for him. Now, I want to show you guys the Bible that I use right now. This is my pastor, who is Chuck Smith from Calvary Costa Mesa, put together a Bible called the Word for Today Bible. And what it has Pastor Chuck's notes throughout the Bible. And it has his notes on this particular verse, Hebrews 7:25, called Saving to the Uttermost. Here's what Pastor Chuck writes about this verse. He says, for those who come to God through him, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. Saving to the uttermost means that he throws open wide the doors of heaven to all nations and people and says, whoever wills. Saving to the uttermost means he will save you from the direst of circumstances. Saving to the uttermost means he can save you from the deepest depths of sin and defilement. Saving to the uttermost means you will be saved ultimately for all eternity. And why can he save to the uttermost? Because he always lives to make intercession for them. What a glorious truth. I am saved to the uttermost. Isn't that good news? Now there's an example. There is a young lady, her name is Holly. And when she was little, her parents would send her off to walk down to the nearest little church, but they didn't go. And so here's this little tiny girl, would get dressed up and walk down to the, the little church that was there, and she joined. And as she went in and she heard about Jesus and God and heaven, and went to Sunday school, but she loved to sing, and so she joined the choir, and she was a little member of the choir. But as she got older, and with no real help or encouragement from home, and eventually her parents, I believe, divorced, and she did not have a healthy upbringing by any stretch of the imagination, she stopped going to church. She became a typical teenager in San Diego, and going around, she began to, you know, party and begin to have the world's idea of fun. And she was very athletic. She was extremely talented. She was a paddler in San Diego, and she was one of the premier athletes within the city in various competitions. And she started hanging out with the rock stars and the movie stars, and then ended up marrying a man that was in the NFL. And so, but eventually her lifestyle, the rock star lifestyle, began to catch up with her. And she was lonely, and she was empty, and she was miserable, and things had fallen apart with her own marriage. And there she was, driving one day down the freeway, and she said, I was so tired of... There was a moment where you listen to the radio, and you listen to songs to kind of make you feel good, and for a while that works. But when you're really sad, you get all of a sudden those songs don't connect anymore, and you listen to them, and you don't feel happy and peppy. She goes, I was tired of all of those songs. So she started spinning through the dial, going up and down, listening for something that would help soothe an aching heart. And she ended up all the way to the right end of the dial at 107.9 K-Wave, the Wave of Living Water, the Christian station. And she thought, oh, well, this will be entertaining. Some preachers on the radio. Here we go. But as she listened, it started bringing back memories of when she was a little girl. And she hadn't really thought about heaven for a long time, or God, or forgiveness, or peace. And she goes, just hearing those words, how come nobody talks about love and forgiveness and healing and heaven? But here it was, and it brought back her childhood memories. And then as she went, she started listening. She kind of got, you know, now, as she said, hooked on listening to each one of these. And she goes, and they were all different, and they were all weird. She goes, you were one of them. I go, thank you very much. And all of a sudden, it dawned on her, it's real. God is real. Heaven is real. There really are angels. The Bible is true. Jesus is God's Son. He died for me. What have I been doing with my life? And then she began to also say, but wait a second. So where were you, God, when my marriage failed? Where were you when this happened to me? Where were you when that happened to me? And kind of grasping the steering wheel, crying out in anger. And then all of a sudden, her words, she said, I heard God speak to me. And God spoke to me and said, Holly, I was always there. And she said, it hit me. And she said, I couldn't believe that I heard something. I'm angry. I'm crying out kind of to the universe. Hey, where were you? And to hear a voice so loud in my head, I was always there, Holly. Soft, gentle, but firm, loving, reassuring. I was always with you. I never left you. I was there with you when you were a little girl walking by yourself to the church. I was with you when your heart began to resonate when you sang in that choir. And I was with you when you stopped going to church and when you went out and you followed your own path. And when you went through all of the horrible experiences of your life, I was with you all the way. I have never left you. I've never forsaken you, Holly. But you had turned up the dial on so many other areas of your life so loud, you couldn't hear my voice anymore. And what's happened is that all of those things have been turned off. You've disconnected from them. They're not meeting the need like I told you they wouldn't. And now, for the first time, you're hearing that gentle, still, loving shepherd's voice that was there all along. And she pulled off to the side of the road, broke down crying, and opened her heart and gave her life to Jesus. Now, Then she comes here, she joins the women's ministry, and she goes, you know, I've got these two daughters, and one kind of knows the Lord, she knows the Lord, and the other one doesn't, and my family is a mess, and my life is a mess. And so she locked into this Bible study and got adopted by a table of women in the women's study who just loved on her, embraced her, and became her friends. And you know, during the process of the last several years, she found out she had cancer. It grew, and it suddenly basically took her life. We just, this last week, had her service, where her friends and family from the past and from all of her experiences came, and now her new family and her brothers and sisters in Christ. And Holly, she was still relatively young, though she had children and grandchildren, but the last 3 years of her life, she said, I know where I'm going. My life makes sense. I thank God every day for what he has given me. And this morning, she's in heaven. She's with Jesus. God is good. God is good. God is able to save to the uttermost because he always lives to make intercession. You want to know something? Jesus in his intercession, sometimes we think, oh, he's just interceding for all the saved people. No, he's not. Jesus intercedes, yes, for those who are part of his family, but he is also interceding on behalf of the whole world, all 6 billion of them that are like lost prodigal sons and daughters, that they will one day come home and know him.
Pastor Ray Bentley, pointing out the rich benefit of having Jesus as our high priest in heaven forever. Good insight today here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's Jesus is the Perfect Priest, and we can send it to you for a gift of any amount. Again, the message title, Jesus is the Perfect Priest. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Hebrews on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Pastor Ray, if there's somebody listening to us today who's in a very dark place, you know, it just seems like life has hit rock bottom, what kind of encouragement can you offer them?
You know, I think about Moses, this mighty man of God, but we have to remember, Moses didn't always see burning bushes. God didn't always do miracles in that way. There were times where Moses, as a man, got frustrated. He got discouraged. And at one point, he basically threw his responsibilities on God's lap and said, God, they're not my people. These are your people. I don't know what to do with them. And so it was then that God entered into a very personal relationship with Moses. Moses, I know what you're going through. You are not alone. I think a lot of times, Dave, people feel, this is what the enemy tries to do. You're all alone. You're struggling. God's way up there in heaven. I can't see God around me. He's invisible. So what's really going on? And that's where God comes down to our human level. He pours into us that beautiful, sweet, anointing presence, words of nearness, of encouragement, of hope, and a future. It reminds us he's not only on the throne, he's got a purpose and a plan he's unfolding.
And listeners can learn more about the Lord's providence in that way in your booklet called Dealing with Discouragement and Depression, can't they?
Yes. This booklet, David, comes out of not only the scriptures, but my personal experiences as a, you know, not only a pastor, but as a husband, as a father, as a child of God, as a follower in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what God has spoken to me, what he's taken and lifted out of the scriptures and really applied in my life in a very personal way.
All right. Well, we hope you'll get your own personal copy of Dealing with Discouragement and Depression. We're sending it right now to say thanks for your gift of any amount to help us keep bringing Pastor Ray's teaching to you each day. So write us today at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Hebrews. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.